You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Seated. Look at somebody and let them know you like them. Amen. You know, sometimes we go through a whole day and no one tells us that they like us. And sometimes we go through a day not liking ourselves. Sometimes we go through a day not liking what we did. Sometimes we're hard on ourselves. Sometimes we let things get to us because we were a little down or emotional. And something that normally wouldn't bother us has bothered us. Can you cut that off? Because I want Nivenka to be comfortable. She's shivering. We're gonna get more church blankets for the sanctuary. Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. I love it already. This is an adorable church. You guys are just adorable. And sometimes we're vulnerable, and some things hit us that normally wouldn't hit us, and it makes us more emotional. And so it's good to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, our Father, sometimes saying, "I like you." And it's sometimes good when he can have one of his children to look at you. This is why I always say, don't forsake the local assembly. Don't forsake the local ecclesia, the local house of God, because that's where he dwells. It's his home. And when you come into the Father's home, you're always welcome. You're always welcome. There's always love in the Father's home, ready for his children to return home. So he can say, "I love you and I like you and all is well," in spite of what you went through, in spite of how you felt, in spite of what you saw or what you thought you saw, in spite of what you heard or how you heard it or how you interpreted it. Amen. 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 So we're going to talk tonight. And I'm trying to stay. Sometimes God will give me something, and he gave me a message about 45 minutes ago, and I'm trying to get that out of me because he kind of put it in me like 45 minutes ago, and that's for Sunday, and I'm trying to stay in Wednesday. And you know I teach stay in the day, so I'm trying to stay in the day, but I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about on Sunday. So on the inside, I'm screaming on stuff that he said on about Sunday. So I'm like, "Lord, can you just like stop talking to me for a minute so I could just concentrate what we're doing here?" Amen. And so I wasn't even supposed to speak today. My wife was going to speak, but at the last minute, it was a change. And so I went and I switched my modes to receiving mode to, okay, now I got to hear mode. So then he started opening me and I opened up a valve and he just starts speaking and putting all this stuff in. So I'm trying to get all these notes. So, well, what we're going to talk about today is, let's call it the adjustment. The adjustment. And so all of us, we, at some point in times in our life, in our seasons, we have to be able to make adjustments. And I want you to know, the most successful, I won't say greatest, the most successful believers make the quickest adjustments. In life, life is about adjustments. Life is not, let me just tell you a secret. Let me burst the bubble of some people. Life is not about how many scriptures you know. So yes, the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to study the word, and we're supposed to know the word and study to show yourself approved. And that is true. We should know this. However, but if you can't live what you know, it's a moot point anyway. So I want you to know, it's not about how many scriptures, and this is how we put ourselves in a lower standard than we should, that we beat ourselves up for what we don't know, and we don't congratulate ourselves enough for what we do know. At this church, you'll learn, you have to come to every service, because without that, you won't get the balance. Some days I'm the cheerleader and praising us, and some days I'm the father and I'm like, come on, you got to do better. And some days I'm saying the love of God, and some days I'm talking about how he correcteth those that he loved. And so there's a balance to the thing, like there's a balance to this Bible. Oh, you understand? In Deuteronomy, there's the blessings and then there are the cursings. And so there's a balance of this thing. And if you just pick one thing, you'll think, oh, that's God? No. That's one form, that's one version, that's one season. Amen? And so I want you to understand that, because we have to be able to make adjustments. And successful believers must make many adjustments in life. We can't just say, this is the way it is and this is the way it's going to stay, because God is always moving. He is the same, but he moves. He's the same, but he moves. And if we, and see, this is how we get ourselves confused, because God doesn't change, but he does move. And if we, and this is the problem, sometimes we can't change because we don't move. Oh, did you get that? Okay, I think you got that. I kind of heard that in your spirit. The thing is, we think that if we're unmovable, we're stuck in what he wants us to be in. But just because we were in it doesn't mean we have to stay in that. Just because we had to be stern for a season doesn't mean we have to stay stern all our life. Just because we had to dig in a season doesn't mean we have to stay with our spikes stuck in the ground. Sometimes God wants us to be free in this season, but stuck in this season. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to get your boots on because it's going to get rough. And sometimes you want the wind to blow in and through your flip-flops. You know, amen. All right. So the adjustment. And for some of us, the adjustments that we have to be able to continually make. Say it with me. I must make adjustments. You know how Sunday, which was just a couple days ago, which is kind of crazy because it seemed like it was like yesterday, because these days are like flying around. I don't know if it's just me or not. But when I didn't know what the title was, because God just had me talking, and then we kind of found out later on when I had a meeting with my daughter that the title was really, she decided based on things I kept saying, loosen up is what she went with, so she could post it and all of that stuff. And this is what God is trying to tell us. We have to be able to loosen up, because we've been too tightly wound in things, and we can't enjoy the fruit of our labor sometimes because we're so tightly wound. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that we can't really rejoice and see how God is moving, because we want to see the full totality of the prayer instead of seeing how it's slowly working. We don't see our progress. We're getting better. What we want us to be totally whole, totally changed. Well, what about our mindset is opening up to being able to receive what God is saying, when before our mind was totally shut down in certain areas? The adjustment. And we need to be able, like I said on Sunday, we need to be able to praise ourselves sometimes when, like, you know what, Lord, I feel I'm changing. Lord, I do feel like I'm loosening up. Lord, I do. I am being able to see more than just the little that I was willing to see. Go with me to the book of Daniel. I absolutely love the book of Daniel. And our church is about to go into a fast, a Daniel fast, beginning at midnight. Amen. So fry up your steaks, ladies and gentlemen, because cut the stove off at midnight. All right. It's over. So with that, so we're going to go into the book of Daniel, and we're going to go into chapter two, the book of Daniel, And when you get it, say amen. All right. We need a partner over here. We need a Bible partner. Somebody be a Bible partner. Okay, very good. We share this church. We share everything. Amen. 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 So are we in Daniel chapter 2? Okay, you got your notes ready? You got your ink pen ready? You got your everything ready? All right, good. Okay, so chapter 2. So this is uh, Nebuchadnezzar, the funny thing is, he was trying to get all of the sorcerers and everything to interpret his dreams. Okay, which is funny that if this is the beginning of chapter 2, which is funny that sometimes all you have to do is go to the source. But sometimes we want the same thing the source would bring, but not get it from the source. Oh, let me break that down a little bit more. Sometimes we want the things that God brings us, but we don't want the God that brings it. In other words, we don't mind someone having the things of God, but we don't want to get the God part out of what that person is bringing. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, at this time, he wanted the interpretation, but he necessarily didn't want it coming from the source because everything comes from God. Are you with me? And so sometimes we don't mind getting something from someone that's godly, but keep the God away and just give me what comes from God. Amen. We want the power of God, but can we keep God out of it and just receive the power? So in this, in chapter 2, let's go to verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. And this is one of my, which is strange thing, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, 19. I've read this, I don't know how many times in my life, but a few years ago, God opened up a door of revelation for me in chapter 19 and kind of changed my life, which helped me change the church in a way a few years ago in 19. Then was the secret revealed. Say secret. So many times we're living without the secret. And if you really understand that, you know, the Bible says that there's hidden mysteries. Okay, hidden mystery. Think about that for a minute. Compound. Hidden. Hidden is not something that is what? Visible. Revealed. Hidden. If it's hidden, it's not what? Or revealed. I like both words. That's why I like you saying it and you saying it. Because I like the word revealed. If it's hidden, it's not revealed. But we want to live with revelation. We want to live with, let me even take it a step further, open revelation. We want revelation. We want revelation. We want revelation. But you know what we don't want? We don't want to dig for it. But doesn't the word says seek? What does seek mean? To look or to search or to pursue. Go after. Interactive Wednesday. I like it. And, well, we haven't had an Interactive Wednesday in a long time. I like it. That's what we used to have Interactive Wednesdays like for a couple years. But to search, to look, to dig for it, and ye shall find. That was a declaration. You'll get it. You'll get it if you seek, dig. But it's not open. If it's not open, it's closed. If it's not open, it's closed. So it's a revelation that's closed. So many of us loved God, lived for God, but walked around with closed revelation. And the Bible says, knock and the door shall what? It did not say knock because the door is open. Oh, come on, breakthrough. It says knock and the door what? So doesn't that mean, since we're having Interactive Wednesday, doesn't that mean the door won't open until you what? So doesn't that go with faith without? So it doesn't matter how much faith we have if we don't have the equivalence of work to balance it out. That's why I said at the beginning, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you know if you're not living those scriptures out. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you can recite if those scriptures don't have life within you. Because I have come that you have life and life what? So if he said, which he did, Jesus, I'm just loving that the word is just coming alive. If he said, which he did, I have come that you have life and life more what? doesn't that mean that there is more for us to have, and he came for us to have more than what we had before he came into our life? Amen. So that means there's a hidden section, a hidden revelation that we won't attain until he comes into our life. So we can walk this earth and have things, but there are some things that's hidden that won't be revealed until we seek him out. But it goes back to what I said earlier. But if we're not, you remember I said God doesn't change, but he does what? I want to see if you took some notes. He moves. God doesn't change, but he does move. But you remember when I said we can't change a lot of times because we refuse to move. Is the word coming together? We say, I won't move on my thought. So you can't change. I won't move what I'm doing. So you can't change. See, he's first, we're second. He moves, we change when we move with him. He doesn't have to change because he's perfect. The only way we change if we move while he moves. But if we stay over here in unforgiveness, if we stay over here in anger, and when he's trying to move over there where the healing is, are you understanding? Where the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I have to move where the joy is. But for me to move where the joy is, I got to move away from me wanting to stay in anger. Are you getting that? Or depression or my own thought? Or what if I say, I'm going to just stay here in my thought and God's over there? How can my spirit change unless I move with his spirit? So that means I have to move from where I was to where he is now, so that I can change the way he wants me to change. And I love he's no respecter of person. And I used to always add in and or age. It's never too late. And it's never too early. It's never too late. It's never too early. Amen. 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 All right, now I need you to turn it up because I'm burning up over here. Amen. See, I told you, the sanctuary, I'm telling you, it's either hot or cold. Amen. Get ready. I mean, strap up. You ready? Okay. All right. So in the book of, we're going to invest in some breakthrough blankets, okay? So Daniel chapter 2 in 19, it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Daniel loved God, but there was a secret revealed unto him in a night vision. And the thing that opened up my revelation years ago, a night vision. A night vision is dark. 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 But we equate dark as bad. We equate dark as scary. We equate when it's dark, close up. No. You know how many times God will reveal where you're going to go when you're in a dark place? So many times where it was dark and locked up. Apostle Paul was in prison, locked up, dark. And what did he do to get out? He praised his way until the doors opened. But what I like about it, he just didn't pray. He just didn't worship God. He worshiped God so, I'm feeling this thing. Where is my organ player? Man, I tell you. He worshiped God so tough that the gates opened and all of the other prisoners was able to get out and walk out with him. They were released because of his praise. If that doesn't show, how many people will be released from bondage if we would ever truly worship God without worrying about who hears? Oh, Jesus. Who's getting what I'm saying? We have to make those mental adjustments. Instead of you so worried about your neighbor or what somebody's going to think, if there's a shout on the inside of you, you need to let it out. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit is moving on the inside of you and it's time for you to speak in unknown tongues, you better let it out, because you never know who on the inside the Holy Spirit is trying to release from your praise. Hallelujah. Woo! The adjustment, He spoke to Daniel in a night vision. I love it. I want to talk to some people that's been in some dark places and some dark seasons. Don't you be scared because it's dark. Embrace the darkness because you don't have anything getting in your way of seeing the light of God when it's dark. In the daytime, all kind of things going on. You can see everything. But at nighttime, you have to have a sharper vision. Have you ever been in a dark season with God or a dark time with God and God started telling you and speaking to you and telling you what was going to happen? He told you in a night vision. He told you in a dark time. He told you, he showed you, he spoke to you in the darkness. He told you who you were in the darkness. And you're looking at like, God, I can't even see my way out. He said, that's right, follow my voice. Walk with me. He did the same. Oh, Jesus, I feel you, Holy Spirit. Do you recognize that when Peter was on the boat, on the water, it was dark? Oh! If you read, I got to take my wedding ring. I've just hurt myself. That hurt it out. So while they were on the boat, it was dark, and all they saw was smoke and shadows. Why? Because Jesus wanted Peter to be able to hear his voice and follow the voice. They saw figures so much so, read your Bible, so much so that they were ready to cast out some spirits because they were saying, what are those, ghosts? And after Jesus heard them saying, is it ghosts? He says, Peter, come on out to the water. Why? Because he wanted to know, would Peter follow my voice? Not what he could see, because it's easy to follow. In the daytime, he would have saw Jesus, but in the nighttime, his senses had to be so keen that he had to follow his ears. What happens when God lets it get so dark so that you could only hear his voice? Because he knows you're following him when you can't see your way out. That's when it's real, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. That's when it's real. When you can't see your way out and you're following the voice of your Savior. You're following the voice of your deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever just heard him say something, but you couldn't see it? Have you ever heard him speak something to you, but you couldn't see it because it was too dark? He spoke to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He blessed him after he spoke to him. This is what God is saying. Sometimes when God speaks to you, you got to be able to clap your way into a happy place. Woo! You got to be able to call those things to be not. I'm trying to get, if I could get a church to learn how to clap, this is not even about keeping the beat. Make your own beat. But clap yourself into a happy place. This isn't about rhythm. This is a declaration. All is well. In a dark place, let the sounds echo off the dark walls. Let the walls hear. Hallelujah. There's no rock going to cry out. No bird going to sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God. During this issue, during this season, while God is delivering me, blessed be the name. Because that's what we do. Oh, we want to bless him while we feel like he's blessing us. But what about when it's dark? Are we still blessing his name? Are we blessing his name when he gave a declaration in a dark season? Or are we saying, Lord, I'll bless you when I can see my way out? That's not faith. He wants us to have more faith in the dark than we do in the light, because that's when it's real, when you can't see your way out, when you can't see the light, but you can hear the light because he is the light and his voice is the light. So if he spoke to you in the darkness, the light is with you because he spoke. Oh, Jesus, you missed that. Quit trying to see it better. Listen and hear. Is he speaking? Because if he's speaking, it's better already because he's speaking. Right. Hallelujah. He is the light. He spoke and light was. He said, let there be light. What he says it is. If he's speaking about light, he is the light that exposed itself. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times. And woo, I'm going to pass out up in here. He changes the times and the seasons. I'm too excited. Pray for me. Woo. He changes the times and the seasons. He changes. We don't change the time or the season. We operate within the time and the season that he ordained for us. We have to adjust. We have to make the adjustments. He doesn't make the adjustments. We make the adjustments to his season. We make the adjustments to the lighting. Hallelujah. We don't need to quit trying to bring light on the situation. Let us make the adjustments. It says, and he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings. I love this one. And set up king. Who is he setting up? Who are the people under the sound of my voice that he's setting you up for your throne? Who are the people that I'm talking to that he's preparing you and teaching you about royalty? Who are the people that God keeps speaking to you through breakthrough on Wednesdays and Sundays, and he's trying to prepare you to understand that you are an heir to the throne, but in order to sit on your seat, you have to be trained before you put your bottom in it, that they're getting the seat ready, measured for your bottom. But while they're making your chair, God is making you ready for the chair. He's getting your mind. You had some thoughts. He had to change those thoughts. You had some stubbornness. He had to change that. You had some unforgiveness. You had some rough spots. You had this. You had too much doubt. You had this. You were like Frank Sinatra too much. It had to be your way. And God had to move some things out of the way, change some things, change your diet, let you to eat humble pie for a little bit to get you regular again, to get you ready for the setup. You had to make some adjustments. He was doing that not to punish you, but to position you for your rightful place. Hallelujah. Some of you had to go through some things so long. You had to suffer so long because he knew you were going to have to fight arrogance. So he had to let you go through so much that when he started blessing you, you stay humble because you were fighting for so long that you'll never have to worry about forgetting who did it. We all have our different stories. So as God is blessing you, we all have our points of reference of how God did it, when he did it, why he did it for us. But it's all about the adjustments. He says in 21, and he changes the times of the seasons and removeth kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understand. He giveth wisdom to the what? You know what? That's a revelation, a secret thing that was exposed. You already had wisdom. It just wasn't activated. I'm going to say that again. You are wise. He gave you what you already had. What? Oh. She's taking a note. Stick out your right hand. Take it all the way out like praise and worship right there. You had wisdom. You just didn't operate in it until God gave you what you already had. And all he did was when God touched you, he activated the wisdom that he already put in you. So then once he touched you, when he touched you, the activation came and now you're operating in something. It's not brand new wisdom. It's wisdom that was in there ready for the set time. And see, this is the thing. It's a hidden mystery. It's a time that, see the thing, and now we think better. We're doing things. We're more mature. Why? Because he touched us and gave us what we already had, but he gave it to us in a manner that he could trust us with what he's touching us with. Is a hidden mystery. It's a hidden mystery. Somebody say hidden mystery. Some tell somebody I already had it. God just had to touch me to activate it. He's not putting anything new in you. He already made you. Breaking news. Wait till I got my musicians. You're gonna give me my do 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 do. God doesn't do do-overs. He doesn't do do-overs. Meaning, he doesn't make you again. I don't know what Bible you read, but God's not into reincarnation. I don't know what you're thinking, but you're not coming back a butterfly.
There's no do-overs. You're not coming back a caterpillar. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You might like birds, but you're not coming back as one. He's not doing do-overs with your life. We only get one. He made you. And then he touched you. And then he activated what he already put on you. He didn't take two naps. He only rested once. He didn't have to wake up. He didn't have to hit the snooze and wake up again and to redo something in you. He only has to touch you once to activate it. Hallelujah. And this is what Daniel, was talking about. He's setting up kings. He's setting you up for what you were already created to be. He has to set you up sometimes for the purpose of why he created you. He has to set you up. It's not like, oh, now he decided who you're going to be. Sometimes you got to get set up for your own destiny. That means you were a king all along. You just didn't know it. How would you act like a king if you didn't know you were royalty? How would you know you're a queen if you were never in a royal environment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, how do you know what fork or knife to use in a fancy restaurant if you only have plastic forks in your house? You'll get that later. So that's how most of us have lived a plastic life. Now it's time for sterling silver, and we have to get training for that. This is training for all of us. We're in training. We're making adjustments. We're all making adjustments. No matter what age you're in, whatever age group you're in, we're making adjustments. He's setting us up like he set Daniel up. Hallelujah. It says, he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings. Ooh-wee. He removeth kings. He removeth kings. There were some people that stood where you're standing now. But you weren't denied. You were just delayed while God was removing some of them out of the way so that you could be in your proper position. You know, I tell you all the time, it doesn't matter what I say about that. But in this building, there were others in this building. But they had to be removed in order for us to get here. You understand? Some of you used to drive up and down this, seeing other people move in this building, take over this building. But he had to remove them so you could sit here. He removeth kings to set up kings. I salute you, king. I salute you, queen. Some of you never thought you'd be here. Some of you wondered, I wonder what's in that building. I wonder what it looked like. Guess what? You're no longer wondering. Now you're creating memories in a building that you used to wonder what it looked like. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Hallelujah. He removeth kings. He removeth kings. He removeth kings. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth, here we go. He revealeth the deep and secret things. That means it was always deep. It was always secret. Now he's just revealing it unto you. You know what? We don't have to be theologians to get the revelation. Because the theologians study the one who's given it to you freely. That went over your head. The theologians took years and years and years and years to understand who's freely talking to you without you having to go to school and seminary to get it. Some of you can't spell half the words in the Bible, but God is giving you revelation on the things that you can barely pronounce. You're not even pronouncing the names right, but God's giving you the revelation of what happened of things you can't even pronounce. I know I have a witness in here. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's not about the spelling or pronunciation. It's about the revelation. Oh! And the originator is giving you the revelation of something that others have to study that God is freely revealing unto you. It's the adjustment. Amen. And when you could ever get comfortable in your own skin, not feeling like you have to be perfect, but just accepting that God called you, like, when you recognize who you are and said, this is it, and probably this is the best this is going to get, and God is still blessing you and revealing things to you and talking to you and sharing secret revelations and hidden mysteries with you. Accept it. You're welcome. Take the gift. Quit trying to feel you're not worthy of the gift. If you weren't, he wouldn't have given it to you. Accept it. He loves you. Deal with it. He is giving you hidden mysteries that others are trying to understand. And he's freely giving it to you, and you're understanding it. Deal with it. Accept it. Period. Quit thinking it must be a mistake. Deal with it. He's loving on you. I know nobody ever loved on you the way he's loving on you. Deal with it. Hallelujah. He's breaking generational curses in your life. Deal with it. He's exposing himself to you. Deal with it. He's allowing you to be free and show the love of Christ. That's ministry. It's adjustment. I know you're not used to that kind of love. Get used to it. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them to deal with it. He loves you. Tell them to deal with it. Because sometimes we fight the love of God. We fight the love of God because we never had that kind of love. And it's so hard. We fight the peace of God because we lived in some violent things, or our families argued. It's too quiet, so you got to start a fight with somebody because it reminds you of what you grew up when you had all these brothers and sisters. It was always something breaking. So if it's too quiet, you got to throw something or break something. Deal with it. You got to make the prettier way or better way of saying deal with it, make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. I know it's not easy for you. This is an adjustment, also a transition. And when we move with the Spirit of God, we get to change the way he wants us to change. And we get to change into the king and queen he created us to be, so that we can go sit in that chair, that royal chair that he has created just for us. Are you getting this? Do you recognize that you're created as a king and queen? He's setting you up to be a king and queen. You have to understand, you are an heir. You are an heir to the throne. That's the word of God. Deal with it. Or nicer version, make the adjustment. You are adopted in. You're adopted in. When you said, Lord, come into my life, sorry, you were adopted in into royalty. Sorry, deal with it. No take backs. He wants you. He loves you. He wants to share hidden mysteries with you. He wants to share things with you that he couldn't share with your other family members because they didn't want to hear it. He wanted to tell it to your uncle or your brother, but they refused. But you didn't refuse. So you're getting things that they could have had, but they chose not to. You have to make the adjustment. Stop feeling guilty that God is blessing you. He could have blessed them, but they didn't want to make the adjustments as you have. Stop feeling guilty or bad about what God is doing with your life. It's an adjustment. We have to make the adjustment. Some adjustments are uncomfortable, but be transparent in that thing and give it to God and say, Lord, help me to become comfortable with the adjustment. Help me to not feel guilty. Help me to not try to hide what you're doing in my life. Help me to be able to be me freely and accept what you do in my life freely without trying to explain it or defend it to others. Are you getting this? So, he says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the, here we go. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Amen. Sometimes he will give a now on you. He will reveal a now on you. He will reveal a thing unto you. Sometimes he'll just speak to you or show you something now. It's a new revelation. It was hidden up until now. You got a new perspective on it. A life-changing now. hidden mystery. Now, he set you up. He sets you up. He sets you up. He wanted you to be here by this time. It's part of the setup, but you had to make the adjustments to get from here to there. Some of us said, I never thought I would be here. Think about how many adjustments you made to get here. Think about how many mental adjustments you made. Think about how many spiritual adjustments you made. Think about how many natural adjustments that you made. How many, I'm never going to do that, and then you laughing at yourself doing the things you said you wouldn't do. How many times are you doing things that you didn't think you were capable of doing, or you didn't have the confidence of doing, and you're doing those things now? Some of us are living the impossible. We're living things we thought was impossible, and that's living out the word, because nothing is impossible with him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh!
Sorry, couldn't hold that. Really don't apologize, but I'm sorry if I scared anybody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Feel another one coming. Another one coming.
Woo!
Thank you. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Are you there? It says in 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But can I tell you a secret? Even when he comes in us, because it says greater is he that's in us, so when he comes in us, do you recognize that we're still going to have to make, actually, we have to make more adjustments once he gets in us than we did when he wasn't in us?
That's right.
Yeah, now that I think about it, wow, that's an open revelation right there, live in public. Live. Think about it for a minute. As I think about this live while we're streaming, that it's interesting that we didn't have to really make adjustments before he came in, because we got to do whatever we wanted to do. We made our own decisions. Amen. We were the captain of this ship. But then when we had the nerve to say, Lord, come on in, and then we had the nerve to say, and have your way. And as he started having his way, and we're like, well, wait, who gave you that permission? And he was like, well, you did when you said, come into my heart and come into my life. So then he says, are you reneging? And you're like, well, no. And he's like, well, okay then, move out the way. And so now here we go. Here's the adjustments. Now I can't cuss when I want to. Can't go to the bar anymore. Can't watch that show. Got to erase that from a DVR. Can't have that friend because all he do is talk about dirty jokes. Now I got to change my friends. Can't go to that restaurant because, you know, all of these adjustments. And I know you have more. All because we said, come on into my heart. Amen. Now that doggone Pastor Bobby's talking about teaching filter systems. Now I got to learn a filter system. What is that about? This isn't water. Why in the world do I have to filter what I say? Because it, like a filter, it takes out the impurities and it takes out the things that shouldn't come out. So when the thing actually come out, it's good for you. So all of the crazy thoughts that we all have and we will always have. Amen. Put it through the filter system. How would this sound if it came out? Oh, not ready yet. Take it back on up to the filter and let it flush itself out. Well, if I say it like this, would that betray that I care or love? Oh, it doesn't. It's still too harsh. Okay, take it back up to the filter until by the time it comes out. Because the Bible says charity or love covers a multitude of sin. So if it's not going to come out in love, I got to take it back to the filter, or it's just going to come out sounding like judgment or anger or wrath. Trust and believe, your pastor had to learn about the filter with that. So when I talk to people, the only thing that's going to come out is, even if it's correction, is love in it. Okay? Because if you don't know Christ loves you while you're being corrected, then your flesh is going to kick into default, and it's a fight. Amen? And the only ones happy with that fight is the devil. So believers, the last thing we need to do is fight with each other. So, are you getting this? Can we go to Genesis 18? We're just going all in the word tonight. I love it. Genesis 18. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, if you read the story and you know that God was preparing to prophesy to Abram, Abraham and Sarah, and he was, you know, preparing to speak to them. And he happened to say in verse number 14, which this is one of, you know, it's funny. I know I say this is one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites. There's a lot of favorites I have in the Bible. I like the Bible, okay? Back up off me, okay? I think it would be bad if your pastor didn't like the Bible. I think that would say something else. But verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I took that thing and I selah'd on that thing, Jesse, for about 2 years. For about 2 years, I would read that scripture every day. Because I wanted to get it in my system, because sometimes life will catch you off guard and your flesh and the enemy will trick you and make you think what you're seeing or dealing with is going to take you out. Do I have a witness here that you've ever thought, I don't know about this one. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know if I can handle this. Have you ever had so much anger or something that you were like, you know what, screw it. I'm just about to just say what I want to say and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, and I know it's not just me and Val. And I know CT has done that, okay? I don't even have to ask Peggy. I know. She just gave me a spiritual high five. It was a secret one, just like that. My left hand and her left hand. Amen. I know we've done that. And listen, some of us was even crazy enough to say, I'll repent afterwards. I'll repent later. I know, Val. I know. But the question, so I had to get it in my spirit for 2 years so that no matter what would happen, the first thing I would ask myself was, is this too hard for God? And then my answer would always be, no, there's nothing too hard for God. Because if he could defeat the one who's tormenting me, you missed that. If he could defeat the one, in other words, if he's already kicked out the one, let me just talk about it for 2 minutes. If the devil was as bad as the boogeyman as you think he is, couldn't he have just said, I'm not leaving in heaven? If he was bad, Michael Jackson bad, who's bad? If he was as bad as we think, bad in the like street bad, like, if now I got the whole dance routine in my head. But if he was that bad, when God, let me just say it this way, when God was attempting to kick him out, if Satan was as powerful as we think he is, couldn't he have just looked at God and said, I'm not going nowhere, you get out? How did Satan get out of heaven? If God didn't put his foot on him. God used the same thing with Satan as he did when he created the world. He used his voice. And just as he said, let there be light, he said, let your butt hit the earth. Okay. I was thinking, you know, let the door... where the good Lord split you, but you know, sorry, I haven't been saved all my life. The point is, so if he had to get kicked out of there, who was the one that had the power that kicked him out? I think, if I'm not wrong, it's the God that we serve. So if he had the power to kick out the one that's bothering me, and the Bible says, greater is he. Yes. Did you get that, Jaffe? I love my Jessie. She's so sweet. She got it right there. I love my Jessie. She's precious. If greater is he, which I believe that scripture is true, but I'm going to just say for the doubters, if greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and he that's in the world is the one that got kicked out by my God,
What power does he really have over me? And the answer is none. If I submit to him or bow down to him, I'll give him the power that I have. I'm about to end. If I have my keyboarders, we'd be playing music right now. If Jesus, which he didn't, if he was weak in his weakest time after fasting for 40 days, check us out after three. We'll see you on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Come on, CT. Boy, I can't wait for Sunday. Listen, all I know is Sunday school, I'm going to hear some hollering and shouts, and we're going to get ready for Sunday because I am excited about what's going to happen on Sunday. The point is, if my Jesus was at his weakest point, fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and he went up high, and the enemy tried to get him to give him his inheritance, and Jesus wouldn't bow down. The only way Jesus was going to get what Jesus had if Jesus would have gave it to him. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing for us. The enemy has no power over us. He'll only have power if we give him the power that we have. And even in our weakest state, if we do what our Jesus did and tell him the same thing that Jesus told him, that when it comes to, it's not about bread alone. If we would let him understand that it's everything by the word of God, and we have our power because he said, greater is he that's in us. He's in us. So we don't have to bow down even in your weakest state, even in your darkest time. Don't you bow down and give him what's rightfully yours. The only way he can take something from you, if you take your hand out and hand it to him or open up your mouth and say, it's yours. Make the adjustment. Understand what you are. We are way more powerful than we thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is what Daniel praised him for. This is what it was saying in John 4:4. Nothing is too hard for God. If God said it, it will be. He is just preparing us for what he said. He's setting us up for his promise over us. I want you to know, I want you to be able to understand some things. Some of us are walking in promises. But you got to walk out your promise. You got to walk out your promise with your head up, not slumped over. You got to walk out your promise. Some of us are limping out our promise, and that's okay. Some of us are way slower than we used to be. Amen. What I love is some of us have battle scars. Some of us have bad hips. Some of us have bad knees. Some of us have bad backs. Some of us have migraines. But when we get there, we're there ready to fight with that sore knee. Amen? Amen? Listen, with your messed up hips, so did Jacob. Jacob became who he was supposed to be with the messed up hip. That hip reminded him of what he fought for. Hallelujah. Where's your scar? Let that scar be a reminder of God was with you through the pain, through the difficulty. When you said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, and all of a sudden you heard a sweet whisper, you got this. Or when you said, this is my last day, and God sent you an angel and touched you, grabbed your hand, or whispered in your ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like when Elijah was ready to commit suicide, when he couldn't take it anymore, and God sent him his angels to give him rest. If we would ever look at each other and recognize, you were my angel during that season. It's an adjustment. God has us making adjustments to prepare us for our destiny. But we're heirs to the throne, and the enemy knows it. And we're going to a place that he knows he has no more access to, and he hates it. So if he can get us to think on not these things, which is lovely and just and pure, but if he can get us to think on what hurts, what pain we're in, what pain we've dealt with, who hurt us, why I'm not able to do what I used to do. If he can get us to think of those things instead of what we're doing right now, we wouldn't do this. But if we would ever do this and walk forward, we'd be like Apostle Paul. Press toward. Press toward the mark of the high call. Forgetting those things which are what? Behind. Behind. That's an adjustment. That's a mental adjustment. That's an emotional adjustment. You know what? If we would ever say, I am going to enjoy my life from now on. I don't know how much life I have left. 5 years, 10 years, 5 days, 5 months, whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it. I am going to be the best child of God I can be. My light will shine if I'm the only light in the neighborhood. Amen. Because he's done too much for me. He's been too good for me. And I want to show it to my last breath. Even for those that don't receive it, at least I can say I was just sowing seed, giving seed. I want to walk, and as I walk, seeds just come out of my pocket. I want to sow seeds. Everywhere I go, I'm dripping seed. I want to give people paths to be able to follow. I want to drop so many seeds that I don't even recognize people are following me, and they're so far back, I can't even see that they're following me, but I've left so many seeds. You may never know whose life you change, but the probability of you changing more lives would happen if you sow more seed. Hallelujah. We don't have to know who received it. We just have to know we gave everybody around us an opportunity. But that's the adjustment. Are you getting this? There's a difference between perfect and great. Great people. Great people make mistakes. Great people make mistakes. Do you recognize that? Great people make mistakes. You can be a great person of God with a rough past. Amen? And I want to tell you, there's greatness in you. Let it out. Stop trying to defend it. Stop trying to hide it. There's greatness in you. God's given you a gift to bring joy to other people. It's a talent. You don't understand it. He gave it to you freely. It's a hidden mystery. You stumbled in it. You weren't doing it all your life. Now you find out, oh my God, I'm good at something. It's a hidden mystery. It's revealed unto you. It's an open mystery. He gave it to you at the appointed time. Hallelujah. Quit trying to get God to break it down to you and have a private meeting and explain it and give it to you in writing. Just deal with it. There's greatness in you. You could be a great person with a bad reputation. Quit trying to get rid of your reputation. Amen. Get off Facebook. Stop arguing with people. Quit defending yourself. Embrace yourself. Amen. Apostle Paul was a murderer before he became a great person of God. Are we still talking about all the people he murdered or how he... his life changed and how he changed others? Get out of where you were and get into who you are. Make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. Make the adjustment. Or adjustments. Amen. Smile and laugh at things that would have made you mad and cry. Forgive them, for they know not what they did. Forgive them. Walk in forgiveness. Forgive them. And again, forgive them doesn't mean you got to take them to Olive Garden. It just means you're not going to hold that pain anymore or that anger anymore. Because you want, instead of that pain or hurt being in your heart, you want to let that go so God can put some more joy and peace in there. But he can't put that joy and peace in there if you won't allow him to, because you want to hold it for that unforgiveness. Hallelujah. It's the adjustment. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for loving us so much tonight that you wanted to take us all around your word to teach us about. We've been making adjustments all our life, and we've been making more when we allowed you to come into our life, and there's more to be made. We're not perfect, and we never will be, and that's okay. We're gonna mess up. We're going to do, as I said on Sunday, we're going to do things and we don't even understand why we're doing it, because we're just being obedient. We're going to say things to people, and we're not going to have a clue why God has us to say it to them. And we're not going to go back trying to get an understanding. We're just going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to be used by God, amen, with him having the understanding and us not needing to have the understanding. Knowing greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, you're a great person of God. Now, tell somebody else, and by the way, there is greatness in you. Now, the hardest part of the exercise. This is the hardest part of the exercise. I need you to say to yourself, you're a great person of God, and there is greatness in you. Say it to yourself. CCT, I didn't hear you say it to yourself. There you go. Now I didn't hear it from your wife. There you go. See, I had to fight them to get them, because they could say it to everybody else, but it was hard for them to swallow it. That's it. That's going to be the hardest part of the exercise. But when we accept it, we can smile and stop trying to hide it. Stop being ashamed. So many people are emotional right now because that got so many people. So many people crying right now because that's the hardest thing to accept it, because when you accept it, it's life changing. I'm just a simple person and there's greatness in me. I'm a person who struggled in so many things and there's greatness in me. There's so many deficiencies I have in my life and there's greatness in me. And I'm a great person of God. To be able to say that, you know what that does? It breaks the chains of bondage that the enemy had us living with. Because there was a certain level of worthiness we didn't think we had. So we didn't try to attain it because we didn't think we deserved it. But when you admit it, I'm a great person of God and there's greatness in me, because he said greater. He said it. We get to recite what he said. He said greater is he that's in you. Because he's in us, there's greatness in us. You can admit it and walk in it now. I'm going to make mistakes, and there's still greatness in me. I'm a great child of God. I'm going to fall sometimes, but there's greatness in me. You know why? Because as you fall, he says, get up again. As you mess up and the Holy Spirit corrects you, and you said, okay, wipe the dust off, and I'm going to try to do it again better. Because he corrected those that he loved. He still loves us. But there's greatness in us. Now let's live like it. He's preparing. He's setting up kings and queens. He's preparing the chair for us to sit in. We are adopted in. We are royalty. Now it's preparation time to prepare us so we can learn how to be the royalty he created us to be. As he's opening up doors and unveiling hidden mysteries unto us all, and we're learning together, and we're finding out things together, and we're getting revelation, and this one get revelation on this, and this one get revelation on this, and we're going to cheer the revelation and say, oh my God, what did God give you? Let's write it down. Oh my God, what did he say to you? Oh my God, what did he do? And that's how we're many members but one body. Hallelujah. Without being jealous or wanting what that one has, saying, thank you, Lord, for that one. Thank you for giving them that one. Lord, I would have never gotten that one. That was awesome the way you gave it to that one. This one is so great at this. It's a hidden mystery. They didn't even know they were good at it until all they had was a yes for God. Hallelujah. And all of this is derived by making the adjustments, moving with God. He doesn't change. But he moves, and we can't change unless we move with him, making those adjustments. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for loving us so much. I thank you for everything you've shared tonight. I thank you for this precious night. I thank you for your sweet, sweet spirit. You're such an awesome God. You're such an amazing Father. Thank you. Thank you for touching us. Each one of us, at the same time with a different touch. Thank you for the adjustment. And as we prepare for midnight and the fast begin, let the things that need to fall off, fall off. Let the things that are so hard be easy. Let the impossible become possible. Let the old become the new in this fast. Let the things that need to dry up, dry up, and let the things that need to grow begin to grow. Let when we wake up Sunday morning, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Thank you for this endeavor of this Daniel fast. Thank you that there's changes that will take place in our body, in our mind, and our spirit. Thank you, Lord God, that the spirit will decrease, the flesh will decrease in us so that the Holy Spirit can increase in us in these 3 days. Thank you for the flesh dying so that the Holy Spirit can increase within us. We want more, Lord God. We want more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We will see everybody on Sunday. Love somebody before you get out of here. God bless. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.